Ever thought about what happens to like a big sparkly engagement ring if the wedding is suddenly off?
Ooh,
It's like one of
yes.
those things no one really wants to talk about,
Right.
but legally it gets kind of complicated.
Definitely.
So today we're diving deep
Okay.
into this Kansas Supreme Court case, Hyman v. Parrish.
All right.
Imagine this. You spend like $9,000 on a ring.
Wow.
The engagement falls apart. Who gets to keep the blame?
Good question.
This case, well, it gives us a pretty clear answer.
Interesting.
Maybe not the most romantic answer, but definitely clear.
I see.
I'm joined today by an expert who can really break this down for us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a situation a lot of people sadly find themselves in. And what makes this Hyman case so interesting, so important, is the basic question it asks about engagement rings. Are they just like any other gift, given out of love and that's it? Or does that whole promise of getting married, does that add like legal strings attached? The Kansas Supreme Court took a very specific stance here, what we call a no fault approach.
Maybe.
They didn't care why the engagement ended, just that it did. And that's what we're going to unpack today.
Love it. So on today's deep dive, we're walking through this whole case, the story of Jared and Heather, the people at the heart of it all.
Okay.
Then we got to dissect the court's main opinion, the majority, to see how they got to their decision.
Right.
But it wasn't a slam dunk. There were other opinions, dissenting and concurring, that give us completely different perspectives.
Yeah, for sure.
And finally, we'll zoom out, look at the big picture. What does all of this tell us about conditional gifts in the eyes of the law?
Really important stuff, especially for anyone studying law. This Hyman v. Parrish case, it's like a textbook example of how courts apply these established, kind of rigid legal principles to situations that are, well, deeply personal and messy. Sometimes the legal outcome just feels right, But other times it sparks this whole debate about fairness versus just having clear black and white rules.
Okay, so let's set the stage. We're going back to August 1994. Jared Hyman buys this engagement ring for Heather Parrish.
Okay.
And it wasn't just any ring.
Right.
We're talking $9,033.
Whoa.
She says yes. Happy moment, you'd think,
Yeah,
right?
you'd think so, yeah.
Then, almost a year later, October 1995, Jared calls it off. Engagement's over.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. Legally speaking,
Okay.
Heather decides, hey, I'm keeping the ring.
Uh-oh.
And that's what lands them in court.
So Jared filed the lawsuit, right?
April 1996, he
Okay.
wants the ring back, or at least the cash equivalent.
Makes sense.
But here's the crucial part, the stipulated facts.
Okay, and what are those again?
The stuff both sides agreed on before even going to trial.
Gotcha.
The ring itself obviously was the issue.
Right.
They agreed, Jared bought it, gave it as an engagement ring with, marriage on the horizon. And importantly, everyone acknowledged that Jared was the one who broke things off.
Interesting.
Now get this, the fifth stipulated fact.
Yeah.
Neither Jared nor Heather would say why the engagement ended. No blame game, no messy details.
So it wasn't about like proving someone was a bad partner or anything.
Nope. So the Kansas Supreme Court, they weren't dealing with some dramatic emotional breakup story.
I see.
They had a very specific, almost clinical legal question to answer.
Which was?
When a marriage doesn't happen, and we're not pointing fingers, who legally owns that engagement ring?
Fascinating.
And that, my friend, is the heart of the no-fault approach.
Avoiding the emotional baggage, focusing just on the law.
Exactly. They sidestepped all that relationship drama to focus on the ring itself, its legal status.
Gotta love a good legal puzzle.
So the case goes up to the Kansas Supreme Court.
Yeah.
They ruled unanimously in Jared's favor. Ring had to go back.
Wow.
Chief Justice McFarland wrote the main opinion. And he was very specific in calling the engagement ring a conditional gift.
Okay, so let's break that down. What does conditional gift even mean?
In like regular language.
Yeah, especially when we're talking about this whole engagement ring situation.
Basically, it's a gift where, who really owns it isn't final until some specific thing happens.
Like a condition has to be met.
Exactly. And the Kansas Supreme Court said for engagement rings, that condition is the marriage itself.
Oh, I see.
Giving the ring means you intend to make a gift, but full ownership, the whole shebang, that only kicks in if you actually get married.
So, if no wedding, no final gift.
Right. Condition not met, got to return the ring to the giver.
Makes sense in a kind of contractual way.
So why did the court go with this conditional gift idea?
Well, they had three big reasons.
Okay, hit me.
First, practicality. Think about it. If every broken engagement involving a ring ended up in court, right? And each side is battling it out over who is more to blame for the breakup.
Oh, boy.
Total chaos. Courts would be swamped with these messy he said, she said stories.
Ugh, yeah. No judge wants to deal with that.
Exactly. Trying to prove in court whose fault it was that the relationship went sour.
It sounds like a nightmare.
Emotionally draining, super hard to judge fairly. Imagine, my mother-in-law was awful. No, his golf obsession ruined everything.
Oh, stop.
Right. The no-fault rule, it just cuts through all that drama.
So by focusing on whether the marriage actually happened, they avoid all that relationship baggage. Smart. What was their second big reason?
This one's about public policy, the bigger picture.
Okay.
The court argued engagements should be a time to really think seriously about marriage. Like, yeah. Is this the right step? But if people are constantly worried about the legal stuff, who gets the ring if things go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could totally mess up that reflection period.
Right. You're not really focusing on the relationship. You're thinking about what you might lose.
Exactly. The court wanted to encourage people to marry because they truly want to. No pressure, no fear of lawsuits based on who called it quits.
So the engagement is like a test drive. You can change your mind without this legal sword hanging over your head.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. What is the final reason?
This no-fault approach, it fits with what's happening in family law in general, like no-fault divorce.
Right. You don't have to prove someone cheated or was abusive to get a divorce in many places.
Exactly. So the court was like, why should engagements be any different when it comes to the ring?
Makes sense.
The focus is on the outcome, the marriage, not the messy reasons why it didn't happen.
So practical, encourages thoughtfulness, aligns with legal trends. Seems pretty solid.
Right. But they did throw in a tiny, tiny exception.
Oh, what's that?
They said in super rare, extremely awful situations, maybe fault could be considered. Like okay. If there was abuse.
Oh, right. So in those truly terrible situations, the no-fault rule might not be fair.
But they stressed big time that this case, Hyman v. Parrish.
Yeah.
Nowhere near that level of badness.
So basically, for all practical purposes, the rule is
yeah.
No marriage, the ring goes back, No exceptions.
Pretty much. But as always in law, there's another side to the story.
Of course.
We've got Justice Marquardt's dissenting opinion. She saw things differently.
Right. She disagreed with the majority, saying the engagement ring was a completed gift, plain and simple.
Like, under good old-fashioned gift law.
So how did she see it?
Gift law usually looks for three things. One, the giver truly meant to give a gift.
Okay.
Two, the gift was actually handed over to the receiver.
Right.
And three, the receiver accepted the gift.
Makes sense.
Justice Marquardt's argument. When Jared proposed with the ring and Heather said yes, all those things happened right then and there.
Boom, done deal.
So in her view, a legally binding gift was made at that moment. Engagement or no engagement later on didn't matter.
So she's saying that moment of proposal and acceptance, that finalizes the gift, no take backs.
Exactly. And making the ring go back.
Yeah.
She thought it was unfair to Heather, like punishing her. And it kind of rewarded Jared for ending things.
Ooh, that's an interesting point.
Right. Why should the person who breaks off the engagement get this valuable thing back?
Especially when the ring was given during a supposedly happy time.
Exactly.
And that brings up the fairness issue. The person who ends it might walk away with the ring or its value, while the other person is left heartbroken, probably in wedding debt.
Yeah.
Did Justice Marquardt bring up any other problems with the majority's ruling?
Absolutely. She talked about the financial hit the ring receiver takes. Yeah. They've probably spent a ton of money on wedding stuff, venues, dresses, invitations, all that.
All non-refundable, I bet.
And now, on top of that heartbreak, they lose the ring too.
Seems kind of rough.
It's adding insult to injury, right?
Right. So one person walks away, basically scot-free. The other's dealing with a broken heart, debt, and no ring. Ouch.
Now, there's also Justice Alagrucci's concurring opinion. Where does he fit in?
Okay, so he agreed with the majority. The ring should go back.
Okay.
And he was on board with the no-fault idea, too.
Meaning the reasons for the breakup shouldn't matter. But he had a problem with that teeny tiny fault exception the majority mentioned.
So even that super rare exception was a step too far for him.
Yep. He wanted a strict no exceptions, no fault rule.
Gotcha.
He thought even hinting that fault could be a factor would open the door to all those subjective arguments they were trying to avoid.
Right. Back to the he said, she said mess.
Exactly. His view. No marriage, ring goes back, period.
So we have majority saying conditional gifts, with a tiny exception. Dissent, arguing it's a complete gift, end of story. And the concurrence wants conditional gift, but with absolutely no exceptions.
It really shows how, in law, even with the same facts, different judges can reach different conclusions, all logically sound.
Totally. And remember, Hyman v. Parrish isn't just about some engagement gone wrong.
It goes way beyond that.
It shows us how courts handle conditional gifts in general.
Right. It's like a case study.
This idea that a gift might only be truly yours if something specific happens in the future, that can apply to all sorts of legal situations, not just rings. So it's a peek into when a gift is final in the eyes of the law and when it can be taken back if things don't go as planned.
Interesting stuff.
And, you know, with this ruling, Kansas joined states like New York and California.
Oh, yeah.
They all take this no-fault approach to engagement rings. Seems like it's becoming the standard.
Interesting.
But, as Justice Marquardt pointed out, not everyone's happy about this.
Right.
One big concern, fairness, especially considering, you know, the traditional roles and engagements. Often, it's the woman getting the ring.
And probably spending more on wedding prep, too.
So this no-fault rule, ring goes back no matter what, could hit women harder financially.
It's definitely something to think about.
It's like this clash between, you know, wanting clear, easy-to-apply rules, legal certainty.
Versus actually being fair in every case, taking individual circumstances into account.
Right. The majority wanted a rule that was predictable, easy for courts to use.
Even if it meant some people felt the outcome was, well, not exactly just.
So, bottom line for our listeners, what's the takeaway from Hyman v. Parrish?
In Kansas and other states following this trend, an engagement ring is a conditional gift, legally speaking. The condition. Getting married.
Gotcha.
No marriage. Ring goes back to the giver, regardless of who ended it or why. Well, almost regardless. There's that tiny extreme fault exception.
Right. But practically speaking, that almost never going to apply.
It's a practical approach, sure. Avoids the emotional mess, provides clarity. But as we've talked about, some people find it cold, maybe even a little unfair.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Definitely. And here's a thought to leave you with. Relationships are always changing. How society sees marriage is evolving, too.
Mm-hmm.
So is this no-fault rule about engagement rings really the end of the story?
Ooh, good question.
Could courts in the future look at this again? Maybe consider things beyond just whether the wedding happened.
Like what?
Like how much money was spent on wedding plans, how long the engagement was, things like that. It's something to ponder.
It really makes you think about where law, love, and money all intersect. And speaking of complicated situations, maybe for our next deep dive, we should tackle family heirloom rings.
Oh, boy.
What happens to those when an engagement goes south? That's a whole other legal jungle, trust me.
I bet.
Until next time, thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
It's been a pleasure.